So yeah, we're gonna continue the series we've been doing on the story of God. So if you haven't been here, I want to get you up to speed, and even if you have been here, I want you to realize where we are. So basically, what I've been talking about is, you know, people think about history in a lot of different ways, right? Like, oh, what happened, or who was important people, or what was important technology, or whatever. But in reality, the biggest picture story of everything that's been happening is what God has been doing through all of human history. And that's the highest, the biggest way to look at history. And so God's been doing a lot. From the beginning, we started with creation. He created the whole world. Talked about how he created everything perfect. And then after that, he gave mankind as the steward of creation, right? And what did we do? Just here, I'll tell you what. And what do? We, like, mess it up, right? And we brought sin into the world. That's where all pain and suffering and brokenness comes from. The choice that man made at the fall. Then God said, I'm going to start fixing it. And he chose a person to do it through. Do you guys remember who's that person? Abraham, the father of our faith. He was the first guy to begin to do that. And then from him, his great-grandson Joseph, they ended up in Egypt. And then God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And then last week, for those of you who were here, 2 weeks ago actually, before Thanksgiving, we talked about the law. Remember, God gave the law to his people. And it wasn't ever meant to save them, but what it was for was to teach them the ways that lead to life, right? And to show them that they were God's special people, set apart from any other people on the planet. And that God was going to do something special to them. Well, today we're going to talk about something cool, like really cool. We're going to talk about predicting the future. Everybody say, ooh. And now say, ah. Yeah, we're going to talk about something that the Bible calls prophecy. And prophecy is where people spoke what God wanted to say to people. But what's crazy is the ones I'm going to talk about today are predictions, very specific predictions about the future that God gave to his people. So that's what I'm going to talk about. But I want to get us up to speed. So after they're out, they get the law, they're wandering around in the desert, in the wilderness, and God brings his people to the land that he's promised them. Remember back in with Abraham, God said, hey, Abraham, your descendants are going to get this land. Well, he finally brings them into the land, and I'm skipping a ton here, but they come in, they conquer the land under Joshua, and they are under the prophets for a while, and then eventually they get a king. Their first king is a dude named Saul, who starts out good, but then turns bad, and then another guy takes over named David. And David has a son named Solomon, and then Solomon has like a bajillion kids because he's got 300 wives and 700 concubines. And so his kids start duking it out, and as a result, what ends up happening is the country splits in two. And you have Judah as the bottom half and Israel as the top half, and they're at war for a lot of years until finally, after many, many years, they go into captivity. The Babylonian Empire rises to power, comes in, sweeps through, and yanks all the people out of their homeland and takes them away to Babylon. So that's where we're at now. And, you know, the Jewish people are without a homeland. They are, here, you can go to the next slide now. This is where they are. They're no homeland. They're in exile. Like, they can't return home. They're living in, they're basically kind of like the equivalent of refugees today. They're broken, they're yearning for a deliverer. The thing that they crave more than anything is someone to come and set them free and bring them back to their homeland and restore and make things right because everything is broken. That's where they are. And they've actually wrote a song during this time, and it's in Psalms, so I'm going to show it to you. It's Psalms 137, and this is what they write. It's a really sad song. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and we remembered Zion. Zion's like their homeland, right? There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, oh, sing for us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. So what is this? It's just like, oh man, we're broken, we're away. Nothing's right, everything's wrong, right? And into this situation, the prophets begin to speak. And this actually reminded me, me and Katie were watching a show called The Great British Bake Off, where they bake stuff. Have you guys watched that show on Netflix? Okay, but we were watching the show because I love baking.
No, I don't. But my wife does, and I love eating what my wife makes. So we're watching the show, and in the show, they talked about, go to the next slide, the Terra Nova expedition, because they were doing something about biscuits, and I guess biscuits were what they ate. So they were talking about biscuits, and so a little bit about this expedition. It's this dude named Robert Scott, I think his name is, yeah. Robert Falcon Scott, and he wanted to be the first person at the South Pole, right? So he heads out. Can you guys study this? Anybody know anything about this? Okay, good. None of you know the story. He's going to the South Pole. So he and a team, they're heading to the South Pole, trying to be the first humans ever to set foot there. And they've got it all set up, and they're like, you know, I'm going to go in, and then we're going to come back, and at a return point, we're going to meet up with that person. They're going to have dog sleds, and then they'll get us on dog sleds, and we'll get out of there, and we're going to make it. So he goes out with his team, and the initial team that gets to the pole is only 5 people. And so they go, and they get to the pole, and when they get to the pole, they find out that somebody else beat them by 34 days. So they're like, oh, snap, this really stinks, right? And they're sad. And they begin to head home, but it's really nasty because they had set up supply depots, but then those supply depots didn't have as much food as they were hoping they would have, and there's blizzards that stop them. They're starting to get frostbite in their hands and feet. They can't move. Their food is running out because they were supposed to only have 4 people, but they had 5, and all this bad stuff's happening, and they get to the point where the dog sleds are supposed to meet them, and there's no dog sleds. So they were like, we just gotta, if we're gonna live, we just gotta go anyway. So they just keep heading towards the ocean, right? And they're going and going and going, and they never make it. They reach a point where blizzard stops them. They can't go on. They're just in their tents, exhausted, frostbit, and they die. And I was just, when I heard the story, so sad, right? And I was just thinking about this story, and I was thinking, can you imagine, you know, it's crazy, because we have the journals from them. So there's even like a journal entry from the day that he probably died. And he said, you know, I think the end's near. And I was just thinking about it, and I was like, can you imagine that last day in the tent, right? You're just hoping some dog sled to your ruff, 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 you know, and this dog said, you know, and you're like, well, we're safe. But otherwise, you're just sitting there, and you're like, we're going to die. This is it. And the reason I tell this story is because this is literally where Israel was at. Like, in exile, this is where they're at. They're like, we are going to die without a homeland, without someone to deliver us. We need a dog sled team. We are desperate for that. And to this point, where they are in desperation, God begins to send his prophets. In the points, and the prophets say all sorts of things. You know, before the captivity, they say, hey, turn back to God, otherwise God's going to punish you and take you into captivity. Then, when they go into captivity, they're saying things like, hey, this is punishment, so accept it, don't fight it. But mixed into all of these things, there keeps being this repeated person that seems to get hinted at, and it's called the Mashiach. Let's go to the next slide. There's prophecies about Mashiach. Right, so it's this Hebrew word, Mashiach, and you're like, what does that mean? But it's weird because it's not like, oh, hey, here's a book. Here is who Mashiach will be. It's more like, hey, don't resist the Lord. Don't resist God. If you do, you're going to go into captivity. Listen, you know, but one day Mashiach is going to come and he will deliver his people. But don't resist the Lord. No, no, no. You're like, wait, who's that guy? Wait, what? You know, but it's just like these little clues get dropped about Mashiach. Mashiach in Hebrew means the anointed one, right? And an anointed is like the chosen one, right? Kings were anointed, priests were anointed, right? So this Mashiach is something that's said over and over and over again. And there's many clues about this dude that's going to come called the Mashiach. So I'm going to go through some of the clues. So who would the Mashiach be? Well, the first thing is you know that he will be born of a woman, which is kind of like, how is that a clue? Isn't like everybody born from women? You know, like, what? Why is that a clue, right? But it was one of the clues, because if you remember back when we talked about creation, or the fall, remember when Eve sinned, right? And what did God say to her? God said, hey, look, yeah, you sinned, and you mess up, but listen, your seed, he doesn't give this promise to the man, he only gives it to the woman. Your seed is going to crush the serpent's head, right? Like the serpent, the one who tricked you, he's going to crush that serpent's head. And so the Jewish people knew, okay, something's going to happen through the woman, and this thing that's going to crush the serpent's head is going to come, this Mashiach. All right, so next one is that it would come through Abraham. Remember, God said to Abraham, I'm going to use you to be a blessing to the nations. And so people understood, okay, that means that this anointed one is going to come through Abraham. Okay, next. People knew that it was going to specifically come through Judah, who was one of Jacob's sons. Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob got his name changed to Israel, and then his 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why they're called the children of Israel. Get it? Uh-huh. Okay, it's not a joke, but that's why. Anyway, Judah is one of them. And when Jacob is in Egypt dying, he says to Judah, the rod of like authority, the kingship will never depart from you. And he says, basically, the ruler, the anointed one is going to come through you. Jewish people recognize that the Mashiach was going to come through Judah. Okay, next. Then, when Moses, right before Moses died, he also gives a clue. This is before we even get to the prophets, but Moses says, he's like, hey guys, I'm going to die, but I want to tell you something. Someday, God is going to send you a prophet like me. Okay? Like this Mashiach. He's going to send you. And what did Moses do? Moses was used to deliver God's people from slavery, right? So there's going to be this person who's going to be like Moses and deliver his people. All right, next is in Isaiah 40 and in Malachi 4:5. It says that he would be, a messenger would come before him. So Malachi 4:5 says in the spirit of Elijah. But in Isaiah 40 it says that there'll be someone who's going to come and prepare the way for the Mashiach to come. You know, kind of like a herald, like, dun, dun, all right, the king is coming. You know, there's going to be someone who would come and do that. Okay, then Micah 5:2. I forgot my Bible, but I'll look it up on my phone. Micah 5:2. I'll read it to you because this is really interesting. You guys can look it up on your phones or Bibles. If you need a Bible, actually, Ashley, can you grab some Bibles for people? Micah in the Old Testament. 5:2 says this, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Okay, now, that's a little cryptic, right? Like, oh wait, he's going to be a ruler, but then what else it says? Whose origins are from old, from ancient times. So it's kind of hinting like this guy will kind of be like a god, right? Because he's from ancient times. He's not like a, you know, he's not from like 40 years ago times. He's like from ancient, right? So it's just a little kind of clue of what he's going to be like. And then the next one would be, oh, yeah, that while he would be born in Bethlehem, it also says in Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I call my son, that he will come out of Egypt. So how could he be born in Bethlehem and be from Egypt? That's kind of weird, right? Okay, then in Zechariah 9:9, he says this Mashiach will come riding on a donkey, right? So instead of not a big royal horse, a powerful steed, but a lowly donkey, right? And then this is really fascinating. I'll go back. Okay, this is really fascinating. In Daniel 9, there's this passage that's pretty hard to interpret, but it's pretty fascinating when you think about it. So actually, I'll just read it because it's interesting. So in Daniel 9, this chapter took about half of my sermon prep, which it probably should not have, but it was so interesting that I kept just reading it over. Okay, so Daniel is in Babylon, right? Remember in exile like I was talking about?
And he's there, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up, and he, like, freaks out. You know, he's, like, passing out. He has no strength left in him because he's just like, oh, my gosh, this is an angel. And this angel is Gabriel, and the angel gives him a message. And he says this. Now, this is a little confusing, but roll with me. Daniel 9, chapter 24. 70 sevens, or weeks, are decreed for your people and the holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Mashiach, the anointed one, this is the word he is, until the Mashiach, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens, or 7 weeks, and 62 sevens, or 62 weeks. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After 62 sevens, or 62 weeks, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. And the people of the ruler who will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come like a flood. And it continues. But what's so interesting here, and there's a lot of debate over what this passage means, but just if you say the word that went out to rebuild Jerusalem is the word that the Babylonian ruler gave to Nehemiah. Do you guys know the story of Nehemiah? Mm-hmm. His captivity, and then the ruler's like, hey, you can go back and rebuild Jerusalem. If you take that word, we know when it happened. It happened That word happened in 445 BC. King Artaxias of Persia. He said to Nehemiah in 455 BC, we even know the date, it was basically March 4th of that year. He said, you can go back. Now, if you take, you count each of those weeks as 7 years, like it says like seven sevens, that'd be 49 years. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay, so if you take those years, they add up to, this is so crazy, they add up to 483 years. But many times in the Bible, when it refers to a year, it's talking about 360 days. So if you count it as a 360-day year, that actually comes out to like 473 years. So, the word goes out, and exactly 473 years later is 33 AD. Okay? It's 33 AD. So when the anointed one is supposed to arrive. So, you know, there's debate over what this means, but it could be that the anointed one would arrive around 33 AD. Yeah.
Like, have people, like, is there, like, other kind of clues that Jesus is coming, like, what's it called?
Again?
Yeah, will he be coming again? Are there clues about that?
Yes, but that'll be a future week. So, yeah, there are clues about that, and the God's doing, but they are new. Okay, so these are all about who the Mashiach would be. Okay, go to the next slide. I forgot to make these look pretty. But anyway, what the Mashiach would do. Well, in Isaiah 9, it says that in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, do I have it here? Oh, right, I was gonna. Where'd it go?
My notes disappeared.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, that God's light would begin to shine. That the start of it would be there. Okay, so it says that there something's gonna happen. It's kind of this clue. It doesn't say specifically. And it refers to Mashiach in that passage. It refers to this person that's going to come. And he will start in Zebulun and Naphtali. And here's what's crazy about it. Maybe you've heard this passage before. This is in Isaiah chapter 9. Okay. So it says, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then farther on, it says, why is the light shining? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, so this child that will be born will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this baby is going to be like Almighty God. Whoa. Now the picture of Mashiach is starting to get a little intense, right? He's not just some, like, dude. Almighty God. Like, wait, how can a person be God? In fact, Jewish people today, I did a bunch of research on Mashiach and what many Jewish people today believe about him. And most people that I saw, they said that what they believe Mashiach is not a God-like person at all. It's just anybody who's Jewish and a descendant of Judah could be Mashiach. And then as God chooses you, you become the Messiah or the Mashiach. But nobody knows who that's going to be. But here it says in Isaiah 9 that this person's going to be a baby that's called Mighty God, right? And the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Okay? So he's going to rule. And then I want to look at Isaiah 53. And this is a really interesting passage because many Jewish people, when you go to study in, like, if you study to be a rabbi and stuff like that, many of them, they never read this passage as about Mashiach. And in fact, most rabbis today would say that it's not referring to the Mashiach. See if you can tell, maybe you can see why or why not. Most of them say it refers to Israel, but if we read it, you can see it doesn't really make sense if it applies to Israel. So here is what was, this was written in about 300 BC, or no, sorry, 300 or 400 BC. So it was written a long, long time ago. And it says this. Actually, I'm going to start in Isaiah 52, verse 13. It says this. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as that, as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He, right, this Mashiach, grew up like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor there was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was God's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Have you seen, do you guys notice this? I never noticed this before until I was like looking at it a little closer. It's the Lord's will to crush him, and he will die, right? Like the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, right? So he's going to die, but then it says, but he will see his offspring and prolong his days. Wait, it says, after he has suffered, right, and died, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. What is it saying? This dude is going to die, but then come back, right? And in his death, he's going to bear our bad stuff, right? He's going to die for our sins, but he's going to come back, right? And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong.
because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. So this Mashiach is going to come, and the sin of God's people is going to come on his shoulders. He's going to die and then come back to life and see what he died for. So that's what Isaiah 53 is saying, right? Yeah.
Why are they not reading this? Or do you really think they're just dodging it?
Yeah.
You can ask the Jewish person here. It's because the reason they're dodging it is because if you read this passage, it's like so explicitly Jesus. Yeah. And so it's really hard to not come to that conclusion on this passage. I actually looked up quite a...
There's no other reasons for why.
To be honest,
no other alternative.
I looked up a lot on this, and there's not a lot of Jewish content on Isaiah 53. There's like a couple people responding to the Jewish argument, to the Christian argument, but mostly just ignore it. So
it's not in the Torah.
It is. Well, it's not in the first five books, but it's part of the prophets.
So they would.
Doesn't the Torah stop after Deuteronomy?
No, the rest of the prophets are still part of the Jewish canon. So, like, all the prophets, the whole thing. It's just the Torah is the first five, and that's the law. It's called, like, the law. But after that, it's still part of what the Jews believe. So, okay. So, anyway, Isaiah 53 is, like, mind-blowing when you think about it. Okay. So, then in Isaiah 42, it says, God says, I will give you, speaking to this Mashiach, as a covenant to the nations. Covenant with the people, light for the nations, and that you'll free the prisoners. And then in Isaiah 11, it talks about this branch, right? He calls him a branch. But basically, this person is going to come, and he's going to rule the world and establish peace. And then in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, he says this, and I'm going to read this because it's good. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, he says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort those who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, for the planting, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. So this is what the Mashiach is going to do. He's going to come and turn crying into dancing. He's going to come and proclaim freedom, and he's going to come and proclaim God's favor. Okay? That's what he's going to do. All right, so you guys got this picture of what the Mashiach is going to be. Okay? So now get this. Around 473 years later, a Jewish dude, you can go ahead, stands up in the synagogue of Nazareth, a little town in Israel. He stands up in the synagogue and they say, hey, what do you want to read? He says, the story is in Luke 4, by the way. He says, I want to read Isaiah 61. So he stands up and the attendant brings him the scroll and he reads from that scroll, the Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the captives. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, right? So he reads that passage I just read. He stands up and he reads it. And the Bible says when he's done, he gives the scroll back to the attendant, and the attendant goes back in the back and puts it away, and he sits down. This Jewish man sits down, and it says the eyes of everybody on the synagogue are on him. And then this guy says, today, this prophecy just happened. He says, it just happened. Like, right now. Like, like this thing that you have been, this thing we wrote that was written 400 years ago, it just happened.
What?
Because Mashiach has come. Right? This, and then, not too long after this, this same Jewish man was outside of town in the middle of the day, and he was, can you click the next one? Because my clicker guy is gone, just click next. Yeah. He was getting some water at a well, and he's having a debate with this woman who's from Samaria, and they're having a debate, and the Samaritan woman's saying like, oh, you know, maybe I think we should worship on this mountain, and that other people say we should worship over there. Where do you think that we should worship God, Mr. Jewish man in 30 AD? Where do you think that we should worship God? And he says, the day is coming when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. And it doesn't matter if it's on that mountain or where. It doesn't matter. They're going to worship God everywhere. And she kind of ends the conversation by saying, well, you know, Mashiach is going to come. And when Mashiach comes, he's going to tell us all about this. And he's going to let us know the answer. And do you know what this Jewish man says in John chapter 4? He says, I who speak to you. This chill bumps, you know what I'm talking about? Like, bump, right? Like, this woman's like, oh, well, you know, when Mashiach comes, he's going to tell us all about this. And he's like, yeah, Mashiach, I'm Mashiach. That's who I am. Of course, you've all figured it out by now, but this Jewish dude's name was Yeshua, which in Hebrew is Jesus. You can pop up the next one, yeah. Yeshua, which is Jesus. And Mashiach means Messiah, or the Greek word is Christ. So Christ is Greek for the anointed one. So Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. And he came. It's so crazy. Actually, this is really interesting. Some people have done the math on this, because we know the actual date that decree went out. We know it was like March 4th, 445 BC. And we also know around the date that Jesus walked into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, right? And guess what? It's exactly 473 years. And the dates, you know how, remember I said, like, you know, it's so many years calculated by the 360 days a year. If you take the days, it comes out to April, like, 7th, which basically is a week before Passover, 30 AD, which we know Passover was, the day after Passover was the day Jesus died. So, literally, the thing goes out, and to the day, that's the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, saying, behold your king, right? Behold Mashiach, the anointed one. And all the people are crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Is this crazy? Is this like blow your mind? All of these things through all these years of history was pointing and pointing and pointing. And then all of a sudden, he stands up and he says, today in your hearing, this just got fulfilled. Yeah, you're waiting for Mashiach? I am he. Boom. Right? You know? It's like mic drop. Right? Like, I am he. So let's look at these a little bit. I mean, so go ahead and click through. Born of a woman. Okay, why was that relevant? Right? Well, boom. Jesus had no earthly father because he had a miraculous virgin birth, right? Like, his mom had never got married, never been with a man, and somehow miraculously, you can click through, it'll go, yeah. She got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It's just a miracle. That was in Matthew 9. It talks about that, right? And then it said that you're going to bear the guilt of God's people by his suffering. Matthew 20, Jesus said this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Right? Jesus came to give his life just like that suffering servant in Isaiah 33. And then, somehow I missed this one earlier. Sorry. In Psalm 16, there's this really weird, okay, so I didn't talk about it much today, but in Psalms, there's a ton of prophecies about Jesus that you're kind of like, what are they? You read them and you're like, wait, what? Like, I don't quite get this. But they're
prophesying the Mashiach. So like one of them is like, it says, my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. What is that talking about? How can the Lord and my Lord, like, how can there be a relationship where they're both Lord, but somehow one is like directing the other and like working together? Like, how in the world is that supposed to happen? I mean, you would read this and you'd be like, this makes no sense
that
at
really
all.
Confused me when I read this.
Right.
I was like, what?
Right. It makes no sense. Yeah, what the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till you make all, I make your enemies your footstool. This is what Jesus was. The God the Father said to God the Son, Jesus, sit at my right hand and I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Like he's, and what you see, this was so crazy, is so many of these prophecies, you look back and Jesus is like that missing puzzle piece that like, oh, and this is really true too. A lot of these prophecies, if you go and study them, you're like, is that about Mashiach or not? I can't really tell. Like, wait, what is that even talking about? Is it, it doesn't, like, it kind of just is, like, confusing, right? But then when it happens, it, like, zoom. You guys have the thing, like, you watch a movie and it just seems like, huh, what? And then at the end, they, like, drop that one piece and it all goes, like, ching, 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 right? And you're like, oh, but what about, oh, and, well, but there's, oh, yeah, that works too. Oh, but wait. Oh, those all, it all fits, you know? And that's what, when you look at all these prophecies, that's what happens with Jesus. Like, for instance, oh, Jesus, like, the Mashiach's got to be born in Bethlehem, okay? But then he's supposed to be from Egypt. Wait, how, and then, actually, there's another prophecy that Matthew refers to, which we don't know where it's from, but that prophecy says Mashiach is going to be from Nazareth. So how can he be born in Bethlehem, from Egypt, and from Nazareth, all at the same time? That doesn't make any sense. Well, then Jesus shows up, and what happens? He's born in Bethlehem. Very quickly, there's the genocidal king trying to kill all the baby boys. He flees to Egypt. He's there for a couple years until the king dies. And then when the king dies, he comes back, but he's too scared to go back to Bethlehem. So where does he go? Nazareth. And he grows up and is known as a Nazarene. Isn't that crazy? Like you would have seen these before. Like, these don't fit together. Like, how does this make sense? And then Jesus shows up, and it all just clicks. It all just clicks together. Okay, Jesus says here in Isaiah 42 that the Mashiach would be a covenant with the people, right? Jesus shows up on the celebration of the Passover. Do you guys remember when we were talking about the Passover a couple weeks ago? And Jesus holds up that glass of wine, and what does he say? This is the new covenant of my blood. I am establishing a new way for people to relate to God, right? For there to be forgiveness for sins, a new agreement. That's what he said. And then there's all these predictions that he would come and rule the world and establish peace. And this was the biggest hang-up, actually, for Jesus' disciples and for many Jewish people today. Is they're like, Mashiach is supposed to rule. The Bible says that when Mashiach comes, one of the ones I didn't mention, that the world will be so filled with peace that the lion will lie down with the lamb, that babies will play around with snakes, and they won't worry, because the whole world will be at peace, that they'll beat their plows, and they have swords, they're going to beat them into farming instruments, and there's just going to be peace on the whole world. And so the disciples were like, in fact, if you read the Bible, it's interesting, because disciples, they believe he's the Mashiach, and over, they're like, hey, oh, now are you going to take over? Now we get swords, right? Like even they go out, they're like, hey, we've got a couple swords out. Yeah, can we take over? Can we, like, go? We're ready. Let's go, Jesus. Come on, let's go. You know? And that's how they are the whole time. And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand my kingdom. You don't get it, right? My kingdom is not of this world, right? But when Jesus left, he told them, I'm coming back. And what he revealed to the apostles through the Holy Spirit was that when he came back, his kingdom was coming in power. And all those prophecies about the Mashiach ruling and creating world peace, that's going to happen when Jesus comes back the second time. When Jesus comes back, he is going to rule the world and establish peace. 2 Timothy 4:1 says that when Jesus comes again, he will judge the living and the dead. And he will rule over the whole earth, right? Okay, and then Isaiah 61, bring liberty, healing,
in God's favor. If you follow God, you know this already, how God does this in our life. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, he set us free. Yeah, this is what he does. Jesus' death on the cross means that we don't, that whoever believes in God, anybody who, doesn't matter if you're Hitler, doesn't matter if you're Osama bin Laden, doesn't mean matter if you're that nasty, nasty English teacher that you have who deserves to go to hell, it doesn't matter who they are, whoever they are, if they come to God in sincerity and say, Jesus, I know that I've done wrong things. I accept what you did when you died on the cross as the payment for my sins, that God will forgive them and give them new life in his name. And you, I don't care how good, if you think you're good, the truth is we're all evil. If you think you're horrible and unsavable, you need to know, yeah, we're all horrible, but everybody is savable. Because that's the message of the cross, is that Jesus died for people who were broken. And nobody is too broken for Jesus. Nobody is too broken for the cross. The Mashiach can save anyone. It's open to anyone. Whoever believes on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. And that's open for any of you. It's a completely free gift that you accept by believing in him. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's not any good things you do. You don't rack up enough good things to outweigh the bad things. The truth is, even if you tried, you never could do that, right? The only way to God is to let Jesus come and by his death on the cross, take all of your guilt, all your shame, all the nastiness you've ever done, and just wipe it away and give you a new, clean life in Christ. And that's what Jesus does is the cross. And then, on top of that, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And out of gratitude and because our nature has changed, we learn to follow him. And he begins to change us and discipline us because now we're his kids, to mold us and shape us so that we more and more, we look like Mashiach. We look like Jesus. And we live a life that's honoring to God. So that's the message. And that's what God has done through Jesus. So what do we do with this? Because I'm coming to an end now. You go to the next slide. So what? So what do we do with all of this? Well, number one is, I want you to remember, I don't know if you've ever doubted this or ever wrestled with this, but God always keeps his promises. Somebody counted and there's like, some people say there were over 300 prophecies that said Mashiach is going to come and this is what it's going to be like. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. God keeps all of his promises. He never, ever, ever lets one go. It says in, what's my notes? I think it's in 1 Timothy. 2 Peter 3:9. That sometimes God doesn't answer he doesn't keep his promises in the time that we'd like. Sometimes we're like, hey, God, you said you were going to do this. You haven't done it yet. Come on, right? And God's like, hey, chill, right? He says, I have reasons for why I fulfill the promises when I do. But God always, always, always keeps his promises. And so you need to know that. Next time you say, I believed in Jesus, but maybe I could lose it because I just did so much bad stuff. If God promises that anyone who calls on him will be saved, you will be saved if you call on Jesus, if you give your life to him, right? And then, or maybe you feel like, man, I just feel so alone. I feel like God has really left me. I just feel like he has, and I know he promised to never leave me, but I just feel like he has. You need to know that whether you feel it or not, God keeps his promises, and that God is always with you. And you need to bank on those promises even when you can't feel it. So the next one, the next line, the next thing is, yeah, that Jesus is the Mashiach. I mean, I know, like, this is cool when you think about all this stuff, but let's just take a step back and just from the outside look and be like, dude, these dudes that many people considered were speaking for God made all these predictions, and then they all came true in this man Jesus. That's crazy. I mean, that's, like, stuff you should tell people about, and that's, like, stuff you should believe in. You know what I'm saying? And that's like stuff you should sell your life for. Because it's true and God has proven himself true, right? And Jesus is that Savior. So because he is, don't put your hope in anything else. He's proven it. There's a reason that God predicted this, waited, and then brought it to pass. Because he's done that, we can see that he is worthy of our faith and trust. So accept Jesus as your Savior. Don't look to other things. It's so funny. I mean, if all this is true, right? God's like, hey, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send someone to rescue you. I'm going to send this person. Just wait. Then that person shows up, and we're like, great. I'm going to take care of it myself. What's wrong with your head? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if God promised and promised and promised, and then the deliverer has come, and we're like, nope, we're going to do ours. Like, what are you thinking? But that's so often what we do. We run into issues in our life, and we just try to, like, get more Instagram likes to fix it, right? Or we just try to, like, make more friends, or we try to, like, drink lots of coffee, or whatever we do. Or we go drinking, or we get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or we do drugs, or we just go to all sorts of other things, trying to fill the need that we have for a Savior and something else. But the Savior has come. Don't go anywhere else. Go to the one that God has chosen and anointed, Jesus. Okay, and last, it's just, I was remembering our last retreat, just wonder and worship and awe. You can click the next one, Sam. Like when we look at this, we just respond in worship and in awe and wonder. So, yeah, let's pray, and then we'll do small groups, because I actually ended on time today.
Good job, Kenny. All
right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for sending Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that you promised for many, many years. God, we ask that you would help us to have faith in your promises, to know that you always, always, always keep your promises. And God, we ask that we would put our faith in no other Savior, that we trust nothing else to deliver us, but every time that we have trouble, that we would run first and last to you, and that you would be our deliverer, because that's who you are. And God, we just thank you for the awe that grows in our hearts when we realize this. And we ask that you would just fill us up, help us to walk with you, and help us put all of our trust in our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll do small groups. So let's do middle school guys here, high school guys here, and the girls down here. If you want to split up in two, you can. And then break. I don't have any questions today, so just discuss.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, like anything from the message.
Wait, what?
Break.
So middle school here.
Middle school upstairs. All guys and guys upstairs.